This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the W12 podcast. As you can tell, different voice leading on again. As far as I'm aware, Ben is comatosed in a ditch outside Cheltenham somewhere after losing all his money today. So I've been left with the reins. Joining me is an ever-present at the minute, Chris. How are you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, all good, mate. This is a very good week of sport and hopefully QPR can top it off on Saturday with a win. But yeah, we'll get into
early positivity.
It was a bit of a disappointing one Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And also we're joined by our young gun, Harry, from our insights. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, all good. Slightly flatter than I was feeling last week in terms of QPR, but not too down. So yeah, ready to crack on with it, mate.
Right, well, let's crack into it then. So first point, obviously, taking all the last three games into, like, collective, at the start of it, before the Leicester game, would you have been happy with 4 points out of nine and go from there, Chris?
Yeah, I definitely would have taken 4 points. It's just, I think the fact that we're more down, it's just the way that they came, i.e. three in the first, play incredibly well in the second, like great game, only get one when we deserve three. And then also there's a nature of our pod last week was so positive, like the enthusiasm came through massively. We had lots of messages about that, and that's obviously how that whole fan base felt. And then yeah, a home game that we lose basically, and it was really flat. And it's one of those that unfortunately we've had very little to shout about this season, but we kind of got swept up in all of the excitement last week. Whereas if you took a step back, and this is going to sound a bit hindsighty, but you take a step back and go, we gave so much in that West Brom game on a Wednesday night, then going into a Saturday against a team that played against 10 men. Like, outsiders will go, well, of course, that's crying out for there to be a downturn. Which there really was. But four from a really tough week, kind of on paper, is still a positive. Like, especially where we were the start of the year, we would have snapped your hand off for 4 points. So all is not lost.
Harry, obviously, Chris mentioned about Borough only playing Norwich for 10, where he had 10 men for the best part of 70 minutes. To me, it felt, especially second half, we looked shattered. Obviously, Marty made the triple substitutions quite early doors into the second half. Do you feel that was to manage players' fitness, or do you think he'd seen enough of those three that came off that they weren't at the level they could be at? What was your kind of take on that element to it?
Yeah, no, I think we did just look really leggy. I think that sort of sums us up the whole performance. I mean, the only time when we didn't was when we had a little bit where everything was sort of going our way for like 10, 15 minutes, had a good spell. And that sort of just, that can rejuvenate a tired team. But I think outside of that, you could really tell we looked a bit leggy. And even Colback coming back in, I didn't think he looked sharpest. Maybe he's a little bit better once he's had a couple of games in. I know you got to manage his minutes, but he'd obviously not played for a couple of weeks. I personally would have probably hooked him over Field, even though Field obviously was shattered. But you got to trust the gaffer with what he's doing at the minute. But in general, with the Borough game, I think Marty in an interview after the game said quite honestly that he didn't feel like he had enough time, or he didn't have enough time to fully prepare tactically for that game. And speaking to a Borough fan, I'm quite good mates with one, and he said they always play short, and that's probably what we would have expected, and they didn't. Like I didn't necessarily notice it from the game that they were playing differently to how they usually do, because I don't watch a ton of Borough, but he watches Borough week in, week out, and he says they played so much more direct. So then I guess that can sort of mess up the plan slightly. And if he's saying he's not had enough time. So I think that's another factor. But it was an okay first half, poor second half. Players looked tired. I didn't feel too dejected. It's just one of those, if we were on a normal season, you expect those defeats to come like now and again. But it was just where we had a couple of good results. Yeah, might have expected a slight more from the game the way Borough were going. But now they've won two on a bounce, and they were looking at might slip into the relegation battle. But now I think I saw a post, they're 5 points off sixth. So it's just it's a funny old league. They're not a terrible side. Man for man, they've got some good players in there. I like that Lewis O'Brien. He's a good player. So It is what it is up from Saturday. That's my sort of takeaway. It's not too down, which I'm sure we've all felt pretty down after a lot of results this season. So trying to...
I think there was a little bit of like a discontent amongst the fan base on Saturday. I think the two previous games had maybe like raised that expectation level a little bit too much, with Marty also being linked with manager of the month. Like, you know, that means we've had a good month. And it's kind of like, are we as fans getting on the bandwagon too quickly? Like, we are still in a very precarious position, and every game is massive, and there's no easy game in this league. As much as Borough hadn't been on great form until beating Norwich and then us, like, it was looking like it could be a game that we could possibly get something out of. I know before those three games in that week, I kind of thought Borough's the game we'll get something from. And obviously, as the week played out, that wasn't the case. Was anyone surprised that Frey started the game after playing the full 90 against West Brom?
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, we spoke about this last week and we've kind of spoken offline as well. Three of us would probably have had three different guesses as to who plays up front. It's so difficult to predict, especially because it was a Wednesday to a Saturday. And I know Warburton spoke a lot about this when he was in charge, but like a Tuesday to Saturday, you might have been like, okay, yeah, Frey can probably recover. But there's obviously something Marty feels he offers a lot more, kind of playing as that striker ahead of a Chair Anderson Willock combination. And again, he just wasn't, I mean, obviously Ben isn't going to be actually smiling when our striker plays poorly, but after his comments last week, he might have had a little grin on his face.
He didn't have a little grin on his face at half time, let me tell you that. He was absolutely fuming about Frey. He doesn't understand why he's starting, which is why, yeah, I wanted to bring it up. And like, obviously, well, I was surprised he started, but then saying that when Dykes came on, he offered us so little as well. It's kind of like, what do we do with our striking situation? Because none of them seem to be really hitting kind of form. Like, we're getting results, but it's not necessarily down to the strikers.
It's, yeah, like... it was one in particular thing that Dykes had. We're basically like, think it's like a 3-on-2 or a 4-on-2 where Smith was breaking on the right. But like he wasn't wide, he was inside. Dykes made the worst possible run he could, like right across either the space Smith wants to run into, because Smith doesn't cut in on his left foot, never has. Even when he's really wide, the only thing he wants to do is go around the outside, even if, and defenders now know this, they don't give him any space, but he still tries it. Dykes ran across Smith. Smith laid him in from an angle Dykes is never, ever going to score from. And I wrote that down instantly to be like, I've got to talk about that on the pod, because that, for me, yeah, I'm in agreement with Harry that, yeah, it was a loss, but it wasn't super frustrating. But that one moment was horrifically frustrating to me, because it just shows he's not intelligent enough to make the right run. He wasn't like, right, I'm going to pull the defender away massively. I'm going to go back stick, let Smith have space to try one-on-one and get a shot away. Or he wasn't like, right, I know Smith runs, will cut in on his left like a Willock might have done, so I'm going to run across him, drag the defender out of the space, open it up. And it's just, yeah, that was incredibly frustrating. Frey had to go off. I agree with that, because he wasn't playing well. And ultimately, what we're looking for is just one of these strikers to have a decent, I think, kind of like 30-minute spell in a game, because we know none of them are elite. They've got certain strengths. Some games they'll look good, kind of a 7, 7.5 out of 10. And other games, more often than not, we're probably going to get what we got on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, like Frey obviously set up Ilya's chair in the first half for his chance, where he tried to like dink Senny Dieng from like 30 yards, didn't he? Like, it was a good ball. But again, that was probably about the only thing positive I can remember him really doing. I didn't really mean, like, not a lot stuck with him this on Saturday. And then, like, Sinks, you could see when he came on as well, he was frustrated. He seemed frustrated at the end of the game. And I just like wonder if Marty, just on Saturday, got a few of those little decisions wrong that he's been getting right recently. Harry, what's your thoughts on the striking situation?
I'd have to agree with pretty much everything that was said there. Even that one thing that he did, the through ball, other than that, the strikers just have been the weakest link in this spell that we've sort of been playing well. Like, we'll play some lovely football out the back, and we did on Saturday play some nice stuff in the first half. Lucas Anderson, just touch on his intelligence, contrast to that Dykes run. Some of the play where he's pulling in a defender, like pulling the midfielder wide and then popping a 1-2 with Jimmy Dunn, who's then got the space to just carry it forward a little bit. And maybe with a bit more of a technical player there, it might look even better. But yeah, me and my brother watching the game, it just broke down so often, especially in that first half. I think Frey saw a little bit more of the ball than he did in the second, but it broke down so often when it came to him. And that's the case with all three of them. They are probably the three most technically limited players who get minutes for us at the minute. And it's, I know, like, they do offer some other things, and Frey and Dykes can be a bit of like a battering ram, which is why I think Marty likes them. I think with Sinks, we were relying too much on like trying to just knock it in behind, and not, we weren't getting the other more technical players involved, which I think is why he's going with Frey, especially at home on a smaller pitch where he doesn't have to move around as much. But yeah, the striking situation, we've just got to hope that they can chip in with a few more goals before the end of the season. And realistically, we are looking at Chair and Willock as probably the main source of goals between now and then. So we need Chair to stay out of prison for that. but that, yeah, that's my thoughts on the striking situation. I'm still, the jury is out with Frey. I would like to see him after a pre-season before I write him off, I'd say.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm trying to get at, like, with, especially like my argument with Ben, is I don't think we're seeing a fully fit Frey yet, but I feel like when he is, he'll probably be the best option we have in terms of technical ability and physical presence. We all know that Sinks has the potential to be a talent, but sometimes he just blows hot and cold too often for me. Like, comes on against Leicester, scores a like great finish, but he doesn't do that enough when he's given those like cameo opportunities. Also wanted to touch on Begovic and his form recently. Personally, I don't feel like he's as solid a goalkeeper as we think he could be. And I feel like he's definitely at the back end of his career. I don't see him getting many moves in the summer with how he's performed with us this season. Any takes on Begovic, Harry?
Well, I think the fan reaction off of Twitter tells you what you really need to know. And he hasn't really, if you look across the whole season, no one has been overly positive about Begovic, not on this podcast, not on Twitter. And given how carried away our fans can get about the slightest thing, I think that probably tells you that he's not really done that much in a QPR shirt. Not been he hasn't really saved much that you wouldn't expect him to. If that makes sense. Like Dieng, when he was in form, like, and I think Dieng was very good for us for a good year or two. He would make stops that you wouldn't expect him to. Good keepers do that. He's not really done that, and he's given, well, probably given teams a few goals and makes us a little bit more shaky out the back. So yeah, I tweeted after the game, like, I won't be sad to see the back of him at the end of the season. I'm just hoping there's not a clause in his contract that means we've got to keep him for a year if we stay up or something like that. But yeah, with the second, he should be doing better with that second, shouldn't he? I don't know. And maybe even the first has trickled in. I don't know. I don't know.
Like,
But what
we
do
had
you think about the two goals?
the conversation on the way back, and it was, would we be in a better position if we'd kept Senny rather than having Begovic? Obviously, seeing Senny again, and it was kind of like, I felt like Senny would really suit a Marty Cifuentes team, playing out from the back. His distribution was decent, and like we said, he was a decent shot stopper when he was in form. He went on like into a bit of a bad patch before he left. But I feel like a keeper like him, and we'd probably be in a much better position than we are. I think with regards to Begovic, certainly the second goal, I just don't know how he's. I just doesn't seem like he's got his arms up anywhere near quick enough to like get to that ball. First one, it's one of those where, oh, I don't know, was he not like expecting it to get to him? Like, has he just reacted slowly? He is just a frustrating kind of keeper. He seems to. Like he spills like the Leicester goal, he spilt back into the middle of the box. He just seems to be showing that he is a keeper at the end of his career where they start making those mistakes. Chris, what's your thoughts on Begovic?
I think it's always difficult for fans to sort of, this can sound weird, comment on keepers properly. Like, so out of me and my best mates, one of them used to play in goal, and so often we'll basically ask his opinion on any goalkeeping mistake that we think, or good save, whatever it is. And it's so weird because I think that's just the only position that so all of us have played football for years, right? And most fans have, but I think keepers is a different one. I'm always, maybe this is just a personal thing, I'm always like, I don't know how much I can criticize, or because I've never, literally never played it or have a good sense of positioning and stuff. I think on the, would we be better off with Senny, particularly when Senny came for crosses, when we were under a lot of pressure and when corners came in or free kick came in. I don't want to go back to the Blackpool game because that I feel that was a one-off where he came to the edge of the box, dropped a clanger. But so often it seemed like he would just catch crosses, catch corners, and we'd be like, oh, we can, like, sigh of relief here. Whereas when Begovic comes for stuff, we're like, oh my God, you get so worried, or like he might punch the odd thing or get something on it, but you're not fully confident over it. I don't think he has made a decent saves this year. I think particularly in the early stage of the season, he did pull out some decent saves, but it's not. Yeah, I think Harry's point is right. The end of season, if he goes, we're not overly bothered. We could find someone of equal, better ability, hopefully for cheaper, that is a lot younger. If we were in a decent position, which we're obviously not, then maybe like a Joe Walsh who played the last two, three games of the season. Obviously, we can't do that now, but that would have been a nice position to be in. So at least he gets some minutes in the first team and we can see what he's like.
Yeah. I don't know whether we even see Joe Walsh start for the first team. He's one of those where I just think we'll get another keeper in and he'll just sit on the bench the whole time and eventually
it's so difficult
go out on loan and loan and loan, or eventually just leave because he wants a first team opportunity.
He could play games on like our pre-season tour next year, but that doesn't mean a huge amount. It even means, okay, manager's got confidence to say, right, you are going to be competing for the number one spot, but I mean, pre-season games are so different to a league campaign. And if he doesn't look particularly good, do you then go... This is all complete speculation. I don't think many of us have seen him get any minutes, right? But it is interesting that he was on the bench Saturday over Jordan Archer.
Yeah.
Again, does any of this stuff mean anything, or is it just keeping them both happy? No idea.
I think it could be keeping them both happy, but you've got to have a little bit of faith in him if you have him on the bench, don't you? Because like keepers, like Begovic easily could get sent off, could easily pull a hammy, taking a goal kick or whatever, and like he's got to then come in. So Marty's got to trust him a little bit to be able to think, well, you might be called upon.
Mm, that's true.
Right, Harry, I wanted to pick your brains on Jimmy Dunn playing right back. Because I kind of felt for the second goal, he was drifted right inside, like kind of for like the, when we say like, obviously with the whole Pep Guardiola at Man City, where the, like we have to go to a three at the back with one of the fullbacks kind of get into like an inverted midfield role. It kind of felt he was right in the centre circle. And then the second goal came from a back post header where he was out of position. Cook hadn't got back. Like, what have you made of his kind of role there and how he suits the system? Does it work? Is it just a short-term fix? What's your opinion?
So I can't really comment on the positioning for the second goal because I haven't watched that back and I didn't really notice him being out. So I won't speak about that. But I've actually enjoyed him being there, to be honest, and not talking from a necessarily like tactical perspective, first of all. I just find it quite entertaining watching him like sort of bundle through challenges, doing Cruyff turns, like that sort of thing. Like I have a little laugh with my brother when he's doing one of these. He's been kind of effective doing it as well. In terms of more seriously, like how it suits the team, I think it was quite clear on Saturday, actually, because we had a bit more of the ball in the first half. It was predominantly like a three back, like he wasn't marauding down the wing quite as much. He obviously... Well, when it's a three, you've got Clark Sauter on the left and Jimmy on the right. It's obvious that he has got a bit more license to go because he sometimes does go up. You don't see Clark Sauter going down the left wing. So, but I like it. But I think that in the summer, like a more well-rounded attacking right back, because I don't think Cannon is that. I think that will be top or one of the top priorities, because at the minute, say Marty wants to, like, I don't know, a pal sort of playing, sharing that left wing role with Chair and they swap around, but he might want a right back that's going to come in and do what you say, like City, like just sit in the midfield and have a two and a three as a bank and then the five in front. At the minute, he hasn't got the option to do that because we haven't got two fullbacks who are like competent footballers, if that makes sense. Like, I think Kenneth Powell has got his flaws, but he's a good technical footballer, and I'm sure the managers love him. We haven't got that on the right-hand side, so he hasn't got the same flexibility, if that makes sense. So at the minute, we've got to have either Dunn or Cannon doing that sort of like right centre-back slash right-back role, defensive role. But he hasn't got the option if he wants to switch it up and have a right-back being a bit more attacking. So I'd say... To answer your question, Luke Backround, it's a short-term fix, I'd say, in Marty's eyes, because he's not a functional right back, but the sort of role he's given him, it works. And I've seen Marty say he doesn't really believe so much in positions. They're playing to Jimmy's strengths from goal kicks. He goes up high and we try and play off of that. So it's working, but it's probably working because we've got quite a good manager. I don't know if under, like, I don't know, Ainsworth, if he got told to play right back with maybe a bit less instruction and playing to his strengths, he might look a bit suspect. So yeah, short term fix, bit of a rant, but there you go.
No, it's good. Well, see, what I took from it was it kind of felt Anderson and Willock were both kind of having to come back and fill in like as a right wing back at times, but never really have that defensive element to their game. Like they work back, but it's never like sprinting and busting a gut to get back. And it's kind of like they don't really want to commit to a tackle. Like they kind of dangle a leg in. Like it just kind of felt that he sometimes was getting like kind of exposed there a little bit against Borough. I feel like we came down that side a bit more. Chris, you got an opinion on Jimmy Dunn's positioning at right back? And
so, interestingly, I thought our best period of the game, I thought, was the first 25 minutes. And for that whole period of the game, the left wing back for Borough stayed really deep because Willock was high and Dunn had loads of space to go into. And we did use it, but it didn't feel like we used it enough.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And even like McGree wasn't moving left to either close down Dunn or like stop the ball. They were almost like, it's either like Borough were trying to do it on purpose to let us have the ball. But because they were giving us so much space, it didn't seem like it was the game plan. Unfortunately, 25 minutes in, he switched that and told Engel to play 10 yards higher up, and then we couldn't do it anymore. And that from that point, I thought actually that's when we really struggled and weren't good at all. So it felt as if we needed to score in that period. Yeah, I think Harry's nailed a lot of that point. I don't have a problem with him playing there. I think he's done really well. I think he's done a lot better than people expected. For probably weeks, we'd been saying Cannon isn't showing a lot. Like Harry had talked about how Cannon had been staying so deep because Powell was going further forward. Powell still gets forward, but it seems Jimmy Dunn gets further forward than Cannon ever does. And yeah, it's not like someone is then dropping back into that right back spot massively. It's not like Hayden automatically moves there because Jimmy Dunn's moved up. It's good to have it, good to have that as an option. It can still be an option next season, depending on the game that we're in, because we are going to need kind of a third, basically big man to help us with defensive and attacking set pieces. It's just not something you'd want for the full season, is it?
No.
But it's doing all right.
Dunk, you mentioned Willock and Anderson working hard, but not really putting a challenge in. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I really thought Willock, like, put a lot of effort into that game. Like, even towards the end, some of his pressing was, like, we haven't seen for the season. And I don't know if anyone else noticed it, but the optimist in me says, you know, he cares and he wants to maybe stay if we stay up. But then, obviously, you could be thinking, oh, is he doing this to get the best move he can? But I don't know. I thought he worked really hard, and he has done the last few weeks. And I'm enjoying Willock sort of coming back into form. I don't know if you noticed the work ethic side that has sort of changed.
I definitely feel as an attacking option, he's putting in, he's showing a much more enthusiasm and work ethic and like his sense of wanting to play than he was under, especially under Ainsworth. Like we know he didn't get very many minutes. He wasn't liked. There was an issue between those two. But I definitely feel like he's trying harder at the minute. But this, like the cynic in me is that is purely because he knows in the summer he's going to have to try and find a new club. And if he's not playing or not playing well or not looking like he's putting in effort, is anybody going to want to take a risk on him and a gamble on him with his injury history? Like that might just be me being cynical, and I want to say that he's doing it because he believes in the Marty revolution and he wants to stay next year. But I don't know. Chris, what do you think? Is he playing for the team or playing for himself?
I think you have to put yourself in a different position and go, okay, if we had Ainsworth still and Willett was getting more minutes than he was, would he be playing to this level? No. So it can't all be like just the manager or just attitude. Like it's a combination of both. Yeah, we spoke a lot last week about how we would be really happy for him to stay as what we want. We've got the right environment for him now. It's just, yeah, I don't think any of us deep down think he'll be here next year. It's just that kind of blind optimism that he will be. But again, when like Chair going off so early in the game for us naturally means there's less of a threat. So I think then he takes on the additional responsibility to be like, God, our other main man's gone off. I'm going to have to do something here. Wasn't Anderson's greatest game. There were a few moments in the first half. Apart from that, looked a bit lost. There's times when he thinks he's going to get the weakest fouls possible, and that's fine if we're a mid-table team. But
or Luke Ayling,
you can be the most technical player on the pitch, but if you're going to think you're going to get the softest fouls in the attacking third, he's got to wake up to that. Like it's been a few games now. I want to see from Saturday him be like, right, I'm not winning that stuff. You've got to kind of battle on. And Willett did as much as he could. But I mean, we created absolutely nothing second half, did we? There was no fan in there that thought, oh, we're going to get something out of this game, test Senny, etc.
Obviously, the only real chance we had was when Smith kind of got played through. And he took it, kind of got there just before Senny, but the defender made a good recovery tackle.
Yeah.
But apart from that, like, it was.
I had a really good angle of that, and he should have gone down. Senny's grabbed him, like he's trying to win the sportsman award or something, or he's probably thought, oh, I've not gone down from it. I've got an open goal to roll the ball into, but then that guy's made a great tackle. But Senny's
he goes down so quickly all the time, Smith. Like, why would he not go down for that?
Yeah, I don't. It must have been because he thought he's gonna just roll into an open net. But yeah, he does always fall onto the floor. But I swear he should have gone down. Should have gone down. But
I didn't notice that at all. To me, but I'm gonna have to go and yeah, look at it again. It. But it was.
I thought like he just kind of said he came out and just kind of went, oh, I'm not getting this. And
yeah, he was like, oh, I've caught him like no man's land.
Yeah.
Uh oh. I mean, but. It was a great run by Smith, great ball by Hayden, and unfortunately...
Good touch as well. You have to get there to those ones. Yeah. You can't let it bounce.
Yeah. I thought, oh, he's knocked it past Senny. I was literally get out of my seat thinking, yes, finally, this is it. And then that defender just comes from like nowhere, it just seems, and it's just like... Oh. But that seems... But apart from that, and like Jimmy Dunn's kind of looping lob cross. I don't know if he meant it. Or not, but I was thinking, what's he done here? Then I suddenly thought, hang on. Watching it from behind the goal, I was thinking, that could go in. No, got excited for no reason. Right, just quickly, there's been a little bit in the West London Sport that about Marty's been talking about Taylor Richards. Don't know if you saw that, Harry. I know Chris did because he put it in the group chat. What do you make of that, Chris? Obviously, Marty coming out saying he's had quite a bad calf injury. That's why we've not seen him for 3 months. Do you think that's Marty protecting the player? Do you think that's...
I mean, it really comes across as we haven't mentioned this guy for ages. We're going to have to say something, because every other week it's been, now we've got a fully fit squad except for Ryan Colley, who's still unfortunately out. And like, that's the only name that's mentioned. If he had an injury, he could have said that before. So yeah, I'm taking that one with a pinch of salt, to be honest.
Well, I can slightly believe the injury, and I don't think he was mentioned because he's just not in the squad. Like, he's away from the squad. Like, he's been told he's not part of the first team squad. But my mate Brad, the ITK man, told me that he actually failed a medical at the end of January because of an injury. So, like, there could be a little bit of truth to that. I don't know what sort of, I think it was a loan.
I was going to say, no one's coming in with a bid for him, are they?
No, no one. And I'd imagine we probably would have been paying most of those wages unless we've, I don't even know what we would have told them. Like, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole really at the minute, if I was a club. But yeah, so that's a little bit of ITK news in the middle of March, if anyone's interested.
Right, I think we need to have a little bit of a preview on Sunderland. I really don't like the fact they've lost six in a row. Like, it really is one of those kind of games where we're expected to win. Like, they've got Clark out, Patrick Roberts is out, Bradley Dax out, all the kind of players who would normally turn up against us aren't there. They've got no defenders, apparently. Yeah, I've got no confidence. This is exactly the type of game we will lose. Chris, any thoughts on Sunderland?
I mean, yeah, when I knew they'd been playing badly. I didn't realise it was six until I read that earlier. As soon as I read that, I was like, oh, I really wish I hadn't read that. Then you see, like, almost their entire defence is out. Seeing Luke O'Nine play again, he's a player we kept being linked with. I don't understand how we were actually linked with him in the summer. I can understand why Ainsworth wanted him, because he can play in so many different positions. Kind of that perfect attitude player for Ainsworth and for a team at the bottom. A player that if he's on your team, you'll love him. If he's not, you'll hate him. But yeah. But they've still got quality. I think they named the youngest ever EFL 11 last week against Southampton. Like, an average age of like 21.0, which is mental to think. But they've still got quality. And yeah, I'm not confident we can get there, go there and get something. Our away form's obviously been better than our home form. Had a whole week to prepare. That's good for a manager like ours. It's kind of one of those games that anything wouldn't shock me.
Just look at their last six games. Like, they've obviously lost to Southampton, Leicester, and Norwich. You go, okay, like, that's three teams all in and around the playoffs. Like, Southampton and Leicester pushing for automatics. Okay, you can understand that. But then it was Swansea, Birmingham, and Huddersfield. So you think, like those are teams that are in the same situation as us, and should we then be getting something? But like you said, like, obviously I worry this. Obviously Bellingham for them, we know he's a talent. Like, scored a good goal against Southampton. Like, Harry, what's your kind of opinion on the Sunderland game? Do you think it's not so much a must-win game? Do you think it's we've got to go there and be positive? Do you think we've got to go and just be solid for the first 45, assess how they're playing? What's your kind of take on it?
Well, firstly, I share Chris's sentiments really in terms of like seeing the six losses in a row. My natural thought when it comes to QPR, if there's a team in bad form, they're going to have to turn it around at some point. And I just think it'll be against us. But since the turn of the year, I think we're 12th and they're 21st. So no doubt the gaffer will be looking at it and thinking like, this is something we should be looking to get points from. I think it's a game for Sinclair personally, especially with like no back line. I saw an injury list of the defenders. Like they haven't actually got a centre back fit or something like that at the minute. So and it's a big pitch. So even if he doesn't start, I think if he comes on at like 60, no, like you say, maybe stay tight for the first 45, maybe frustrate the fans a bit. If they're six losses in a row, it might get a little bit shaky. Bring on Sinclair. Hopefully he can cause some damage. Now I'm talking about it, I'm starting to think maybe we could get something, but need to nip that in the bud. But yeah, the manager will no doubt, and we know how he views the game. Like he always talks, we'll be trying to pick points. He doesn't say pick up points. He says hopefully we'll be picking points this weekend. He'll be looking to pick some points, I think. And every game he talks about, we come here to win. Like he'll never play for a draw. So I think he'll be looking at it. And going for it. So my early doors shout, I know you usually do your score lines later, but I reckon it'll be a draw on Saturday. I can see that happening.
See,
the positive.
Go on, Chris.
The positive for Armstrong playing is that Sunderland are very open. They won't be like, so they got back to tour with Southampton, still playing ridiculously open football, which you can either take one way and be like, great, as a fan, my team's pushing for the win. Or you can be like, God, we've got to have some nous here. Be like, we've got back to two all versus one of the best teams in the league. We need to sit in and kind of not give anything away. That openness should help us as an away team to be like, okay, we can counter here. Obviously, our counter attack goal versus Bristol City was great. And you wouldn't say the players who conjured that are particularly quick and sort of classic counter attack players. So that element will always kind of stick there in my mind and be that is a positive for us. It's just whether we can, yeah, kind of get more than the odd goal.
As they've got a makeshift back four, would you be inclined to go two up and start maybe Frey and Sinks or Dykes and Sinks? And actually go for it and put a bit more pressure on that defence, because it's going to be a makeshift one. They won't have played much together in that kind of as a back four. Is that something we should be looking to exploit and going for it? Or do you think Marty would take that risk? Or do you think he's too, like, not so much stubborn with his like formation and style, but do you think he has that game plan and his game plan is we're doing it this way regardless of who we're up against, what we're up against?
I think you asked a similar question when I was last on about maybe, and I just think he is quite stubborn with that 4-3-3. But I completely get the point. And other than the formation, I think he completely respects the fundamentals and has been shown he's quite flexible here in terms of we've not always played short out the back. We have a lot of the time, but like we said, Jimmy Dunn sometimes goes up and we play a bit longer. But I don't know, because he hasn't shown that he's happy to deviate. I don't think we've played a game and not played a 4-3-3 under him. I don't know if we've sometimes switched to having a back three, like when he brought Fox on and Willock left wing back, but he's not started without that 4-3-3, has he? So I don't know, unless he wants to play, like he put Linden on the wing at points, which is interesting. Maybe you could put Sinclair out there. I don't know. But they are super open, like you say, Chris. I remember watching them against Luton in the playoffs last year, and I think Lyndon Gooch was like left centre back at one point and marauding forwards, and like I can't remember who the right centre back was, but it wasn't a defender. And that's just the way their model is, like young players playing open football. Personally, I think I love open football and I like young players, young exciting players, but I just think it's a stupid model if you want to get out of this league. I don't know if there's ever been a side that's not gone up, that's gone up without any leaders in. So I don't know. I think ran over again, but yeah, I think we could get, I think we could nick something. Sorry, I keep on going off on a tangent a little bit.
All right, I think, Chris, would you make the changes, or what would you like to see the team be like against Sunderland?
I think two up top is just so rare in this league as a whole. I think you can only play two up top if you play three at the back, and we're not going to do that, to be honest. It's only if you like you play Dykes as a 10 and then Sinclair in front of him like we did earlier in the season, but then you tell Dykes, okay, you can play 5 yards higher than you were when you were doing it previously. In terms of changes, I mean, the striker spot's always up for grabs, basically. I think we've spoken about, we feel the tendency is Frey in home games. So that means like an Armstrong or a Dykes is better for away games. Again, before the Leicester game, we felt that was a game for Armstrong because we wouldn't have the ball. We could counter with pace, started Dykes, and great running behind, and that worked, right? And then when Armstrong came on, obviously Leicester had all of the ball and we were pumping balls in the wrong way. So that just shows that Cifuentes not thinking like we think and having that. Funny enough, he's got better tactical knowledge than we have. I'd expect Hayden to come back in. I just feel like he was probably just rested for one game because he played so much in a short period of time. Sort of take your pick whether it's for Colback or Field. If it's Hayden and Field, that means we haven't... Like Hayden's better on the ball than Field, but Colback has more of a sense of control in there. Obviously, Colback is ex-Sunderland. Even when we spoke to him, did we ask him who he... Was he a Newcastle fan? But he played for Sunderland first and then went to Newcastle.
Sure. Yeah,
I thought it was way round.
I'll double check, but I'm sure that's what it was.
Which makes me feel if he does play, it goes one of two ways. One, he's sent off within half an hour, or two. And he was sent off in the home game versus Sunderland, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, it's taken out Bellingham, wasn't it? Stats up challenge.
Yeah, two
killed us. We were playing well that game, I think.
Yeah, yeah, we were one up. I think we were one up and doing well, and then it all went to pot, didn't it? Mm. It's basically striker, one of the positions behind the striker. So like, would Anderson start three in a row? I don't know. Obviously, we've had a weak gap. Wouldn't predict that. It's kind of those three positions, really. Going to keep the back four as it is. Fuentes didn't say anything about Chair having a knock, but when he got taken off Saturday, I looked and he went straight down the tunnel, which made me think maybe he said at halftime either I've got a slight knock or I'm feeling ill, or and Ramadan has started now, so naturally that will have a knock-on effect for him. This will be the first game while Ramadan's going on. Again, actually, he's performed ridiculously well in when it has gone on in previous years, which is so weird for anybody else to think when he can't have anything pre-kickoff. It's kind of three positions up for grabs, really. We have the debate about Smith starting pretty much every game that he does. If he starts, he has to show how much better from a starting position.
I can see him and Sinks both being on the bench and both coming on when the game's a bit more stretched and Sunderland are possibly a bit more tired. I think because we've had the week and I think everyone should be that bit fresher. I think like it was tactical taking off Chair and Field, and obviously I feel like it will be Field and Hayden again. I feel like the midfield three could be the midfield three. It all depends on whether or not Willock is, how fully fit he is after playing like the majority of the game. Well, did he play the full 90 against Borough, Willock?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was saying, so but then, like I said, he's had that week now, so it's not like he's should be knackered. But, right, that time of the podcast when we have to discuss predictions. Harry, you kind of gone early with a draw. Is that a elaborate? Is that a score draw, 0-0? What are you thinking?
Go 1-1, score draw.
Chris, what's your
prediction? I was gonna go 1-1 as well. We'll stick with that.
I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna go 2-1 to us. I think we're gonna continue Sunderland's losing streak. I hate to say this for Ben, but I reckon old Frey's gonna get us a goal. Good to see his experience against inexperienced defenders, and I can see him scoring. And I reckon we're going to win 2-1.
I know obviously every game is kind of like not lose given the position we're in, but a game before the international break, considering we've been on a great run, to end that with two losses going into that break would really hurt. Hopefully the players and the staff would be like, look, we can take a step back and go, yeah, but that's only 3 losses in 10. We had been on a good run. But if you get, even if it's a draw, get some momentum going, we get a win, incredible kind of timing to reset again. Fingers crossed.
Right, massive fingers crossed. And thanks again to everyone who listens. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate the interactions. And we'll try and get out another positive one next week after 3 points at Sunderland. You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.